Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you enjoyed our show last week. Our guest was Joseph Palermo, and he's actually an expert on chupacabras, among other things. We did talk about UFOs and Bigfoot and ghosts as well, but the show was mainly about chupacabras, and that was quite an eye-opener. A very interesting show, which is on the archives if you didn't catch it live. But tonight, oh, I'm so excited. We have an amazing guest, someone who I've been trying to get on the show for a while, and she's just released an amazing new book, so we're really honored to have her tonight. Her name is Yvonne Smith. She's a clinical hypnotherapist who specializes in UFO abductions. And she is, in fact, one of the leading researchers in the world on this subject. Her new book, Chosen, Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy, has just been published and is taking the UFO community by storm. Like Bud Hopkins, like John Mack, like David Jacobs, Yvonne Smith has been on the forefront of UFO abduction research for many, many years and has just done an amazing job with this pioneering research of hers. Back in 1991, I believe it was, she founded a group called CERO, Close Encounter Research Organization, which is unique because it allows experiencers to come together in a safe and warm environment to share their own stories and basically get support in a world that's often not very supportive of this phenomena, unfortunately. But things are changing because of the very important work by our guest tonight. So, Yvonne, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me, Preston. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while since we last met. What was it, 99 or something like
that? Something like that. I know we've known each other for several years.
Yeah, I remember I called you up when I was writing my first book, UFO Healings, and I've seen you several times since then. So, yeah.
Yes, and congratulations on all of your work that you've done and your books that you've published. And, you know, I'm very happy that you're doing this, Preston.
Oh, I feel exactly the same way about, thank you, and I feel the same way about you.
And, thank you very much.
Just so excited about your new book, which I did read. Very quickly. I tried not to read it too quickly because I didn't want to miss anything.
Right.
But wow, you know, it's just amazing the research you've done. I have so many questions, but let's just start at the beginning, I guess.
Okay, absolutely.
And how did you get involved in this? I mean, growing up, did you believe in UFOs? I was skeptical, so it hit me pretty hard.
Well, you know, I never really gave UFOs much thought, actually, but I've always had an open mind because of my parents. Both my parents have always had open mind about, you know, things that were not exactly black and white, and I really appreciate their viewpoint always growing up. And in fact, in 1952, as you know, that very historical moment when several UFOs were seen flying over our Capitol.
Right.
And I remember my parents discussing this at the dinner table. I was born in the year 1952. But they discussed this over the years, and they always found it very fascinating. And my father, my late father, could never understand why our government has always kept this a secret. He could just never understand it.
Right.
So, you know, I basically had an interest in it in my later years. The first book I picked up, which I had no idea what it was about, but just as many people had told me the same way when they saw the cover of Communion. Mm-hmm. I happened to be in a bookstore with my son, saw the cover. I thought, you know, gee, this is unusual, and I read the side jacket of the hardback, and I bought it and started reading it, and I became very fascinated. But as I was studying, you know, I became fascinated, of course, with hypnotherapy. a useful tool in retrieving buried memories or buried trauma. And as I began working with people who were suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, that's when I began also seeing people who had UFO encounters. And as I talk, you know, to my audiences when I'm lecturing, it's trauma is trauma, whether, you know, I work with people who suffered from PTSD, having after suffering a car accident, for instance. Their symptoms are the same as someone who has been abducted. So I tell people trauma is trauma. And it, you know, it really has to be taken seriously.
So what are the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, briefly?
Oh, you know, person can, or has inability to sleep, recurring dreams or nightmares, fear of a certain area, stretch of road, you know, a room in the, a particular room in their house, just a fear that they cannot, a place of, you know, what the reason is why they have this fear of phobia.
Right. So it can manifest in a bunch of different ways then.
I mean, it's just not just one symptom or two symptoms. It's a, you know, it's an accumulation of several. And, of course, following an incident, following something physical that happened to them.
Well, it must be terribly terrifying for some of these people who have no idea what, you know, had never thought about UFOs to suddenly have an encounter like this.
Exactly. And many people that come to me have said, told me that they never had any interest and never really thought about it. You know, everybody gets very involved in their everyday lives, and then they see, many times, see a very strange object in the sky, or they will have an encounter that they don't quite remember until they have bits and pieces of memory, you know, flashbacks coming back to them.
Right.
So it's complicated and very confusing to many people, especially when our government keeps telling us that these things don't exist and they stopped investigating UFOs several years ago when they canceled Project Blue Book, you know, all of these things, which we all know, those of us in the know, we know
right.
That's not true.
Right. Well, there's been a lot of controversy, and I think largely misplaced, about the validity of hypnosis to recall buried memories of UFO abductions, saying that there's false memory syndrome. And I'm of the belief that it's a very useful tool, and I think there's a lot of evidence to prove this. And one, you know, the show MythBusters on the Discovery Channel, they did an episode.
Yes.
Where they decided to test whether hypnosis is a valid tool in this regard. They staged an incident in their studio for the crew, and then afterwards told them that this was the experiment. They were to write down what they remembered, and then later they would go under hypnosis to see if they could recall more details. And sure enough, under hypnosis, they had much better recall, and it was all valid.
Oh, so I wish I would have seen that episode.
Oh, it was not about UFOs at all, but it totally validated how hypnosis is an excellent tool to recover memories. And so
I think the, you know, the skeptics and the debunkers, when they don't have anything, another leg to stand on, you know, they're going to pick on something like hypnotherapy, and you know, this has been what Bud used to call it, the whipping boy of, you know, the debunkers of, well, they used hypnosis, and it's, you know, hypnosis, people can be led, and those of us who've worked with this for many, many years know that people cannot be led. And we usually test our subjects many times throughout the course of working with them. We'll ask trick questions, and time and time again, we find out that people cannot be led. They're very straightforward. People have asked me, can people lie under hypnosis? Well, sure, they can lie under hypnosis, but they can lie when they're not in hypnosis. So,
right.
you know, but we have a lot of evidence that, especially with the multiple witness abduction cases, that people who've all been abducted together, have had these experiences together, they will remember many of the same exact details that they didn't remember consciously, and they'll remember them under hypnosis. And it's not until later when I get people together and I say, you know, I want to confirm a few things. It's like the solid case that I have, of course, is the double abduction of the two brothers, when their conscious memory was exactly the same, and then when I put them in hypnosis separately, of course, their recall under hypnosis was very, very similar. I mean, I think that's the case that put it on the map for me many years ago.
Right. Well, of course, I think it's probably a good thing to point out that you might correct me with this, but that the vast majority of people who come to you already have a good deal of conscious memories of encounters, fully conscious. Is that right?
Oh, yes. There's never anybody who comes to me that has a completely blocked memory and tells me, you know, they never walk in, number one, and say, I think I've been abducted, ever. They'll come to me and say, you know, I just have these nightmares or these recurring dreams and I don't understand, and I'm crying all the time and I can't sleep and it's affecting my work. And then that's when you get into the history of what's been happening in their lives. And, you know, when they talk about years ago they had a sighting with family members, or they were driving and something happened and they had time that was missing. And you just have to really investigate the background of, you know, why this person is having these symptoms.
Right. So those would be like the main signs that someone is having experiences, a close-up UFO sighting, dreams, and what else did you say?
Well, it's, you know, reoccurring dreams, just
scars and stuff like that.
They're unable to sleep. They're crying. They don't understand why they're crying, why they're so upset, why they're fearful, and they don't know why. It's just symptoms that they just can't place. They tell me, though, that which is really another strange phenomenon within the phenomenon is, you know, and you may have spoken to people that perhaps an entire family had a sighting. Say they're out having a barbecue out on the patio on the balcony, and they have this sighting of a very strange, you know, object that appears in the sky.
Right.
And I had a couple families tell me this, and then they turn around, go in the house, and no one discusses it. No one says
right.
anything to each other until many years later. Then, you know, one family member will say, well, God, all of a sudden they remember, well, God, we saw this thing, and I have to talk to my sister about this because it's really, all of a sudden I'm remembering things. It's almost as if the alien entities that are flying these objects are imposing a, you know, post-hypnotic suggestion on people
right.
that they're not going to remember, they're not going to discuss this.
It's bizarre. I mean, cause I think a lot of people just associate amnesia with an actual abduction, but there are people forget just sightings as well.
Just exactly. Many, many times. I've had over the years, you know, several people telling me this.
Wow. So when you first started having, I mean, when did you first, what were your, like, first cases like? I mean, that must have been pretty shocking for you to start seeing all these people coming in.
Well, I just, you know, just people that started coming to me, and people were being referred to me after a while from therapists who knew that I was beginning to see people that had UFO encounters or sightings, and they didn't know what to do with these people. Wow. They didn't know how to handle the situation. But it was just a variety of different situations, you know, missing time episodes, and sightings, as I explained, were there were groups of people, you know, family members, and I worked with some of the family members after the sighting happened, but many, many years after this happened, because they weren't remembering right away. You know, the subconscious has a way of bringing up bits and pieces of memory when the person is starting to to prepare themselves to remember. The subconscious will do this because right. The subconscious job is to protect us when we see something that's out of the usual or traumatic or something that our minds just cannot process, you know, so the subconscious mind is to protect us, and then it'll bring up bits and pieces of memories later, fragments of memories. And that's what mainly bothers people is they have these fragments of memories. They feel, you know, something may have happened. They don't know what, but they just, it's bothering them to the point where, as I mentioned before, it's affecting their everyday life. And that's when someone like myself, I come into play to try to get them functioning, to at least function, you know, in everyday life. I tell people that abductions, I can't stop them. I have no way of preventing them. I don't have that kind of power. But I tell them, you know, that they can go on with their lives. Someone who has had the abduction experience, you know, we know it's a family affair. We know that it follows the person throughout their lives, but with, you know, proper therapy and the group therapy, they can go on with their lives. Many people have done it, and they feel stronger for it.
Well, would you say that hypnosis is a therapeutic then, as far as, you know, purging these memories and the emotions associated with them, or
oh, definitely.
Is it better?
Definitely. It's the not knowing that affects people, and it's bringing these memories to the surface so they can deal with them, so they know. And I tell them while they're in hypnosis and afterwards when we do the debriefing that, you know, you survived it, you're healthy, you're loved, you're here, you have experienced something that, you know, many other people may not ever experience, but for some reason you did, but you survived it. And, you know, giving them that information while they're in hypnosis, because I'm dealing with the subconscious mind while they're in hypnosis, and the subconscious mind is much stronger than our conscious mind, it does help them. It does help them go on, because it's that not knowing. And it's that gnawing feeling of what happened. Am I crazy? Am I making this up? And it's, you know, it's that ability to give them that power, that to empower them that, you know, they can endure this. And however they look at it, some people will look at it as always being negative. Some people will look at it as, you know, they feel violated. Other people feel that they have grown stronger spiritually because of it.
Here's my question then, because that brings me to my next question, and I'll kind of put you on the spot with this. But you have talked to so many people who have had these encounters, and you have a luxury that they don't have because they have their own experience, but not all the others. And with your broad knowledge of, you know, having talked to so many people, what do you think? I mean, are the ETs, assuming that you believe that these are the extraterrestrial phenomena is the correct theory, do you think these ETs are benevolent? Are they evil? What is your take on our future relationship with these ETs?
You know, I don't think they're either. I've asked that question so many times. I think as, you know, as humans, we want to put everything in a neat little box. because I think we feel more comfortable with that. But working with all these cases and the cases that I've selected to put into my book Chosen, and that's just a handful of cases, I feel that they're not malevolent or benevolent. They're not here to save us from ourselves. They're not here to, they're also not here to destroy us. I think they would have done that a long time ago. They definitely have an agenda that they have to carry out. And how long this will go on, we don't know. They're doing this for their own purposes, I feel. And
well, what is their agenda?
I think it points to right now, the agenda is their ongoing hybrid program.
Right.
People have seen very human looking alien beings on the craft. They've seen, of course, babies being presented to them, telling them that those are their children. They've seen they've got taken back to the craft and seen the children growing up into, you know, young children, adolescents, teenagers. I think it's a program where we, as human beings, have the ability that they don't have to teach these hybrids how to react, how to, you know, have human emotions, how be able to teach them things that they can't teach them. And I've had several cases of this, so I feel that it does revolve around this hybrid program. What ultimately is going to happen with these hybrid, you know, beings, we don't know. That's the difficult question, and that's a little unnerving because we don't know whether, you know, they're going to be living down here among us, or, you know, are they being created to replace us, like the invasion of the body snatchers?
Right.
You know, I mean, that sounds so science fiction, but, you know, we just don't know. And it was in a couple of my CIRO meetings, you know, and the members are, you know, just throwing around their ideas and their feelings and their thoughts about all this. And I remember one of the members had said, I hope it doesn't stop until we have some answers, until we know that, you know, what they're doing, because some of them are concerned about all of a sudden they're going to stop abducting people and they're going to go away and we're never going to know why, and then we don't know what's going to happen with us or with the hybrids. So, you know, they're very secretive. They really don't give any of these experiencers any answers, really.
No, they cover their tracks pretty well, don't they?
They do, and this may be just a small group of the aliens carrying out this agenda. There may be others that are, maybe they are spiritually wonderful that, you know, will help us, and others that are malevolent out there. I mean, I think there has to be so many different types of alien beings out there. I mean, the universe is so vast.
All right. Well, that was my next question. I mean, in your own practice, is it mostly grays? Do you have people telling you about any? I mean, there's the praying mantis type, surely.
I know.
Publicize some of those.
Well, it's basically the small grays. We call them now grays. The small ones, three to 4 foot tall. The ones that are the ones abducting people, bringing them onto the craft, you know, taking them from their environment, taking these people onto the craft. Then once they get onto the craft, they will see many different types. The taller ones that look like the little grays, but they're taller. Some of them the taller ones have capes or uniforms. Some of them have seen emblems or symbols on those uniforms. They have, of course, the praying mantis type. There's the very human-looking ones that we used to call years ago the Nordics, because they were very human-looking, very perfect, very muscular, very, you know, tall, muscular. And we feel now, I was discussing this with my colleague David Jacobs a while back, that, you know, these may be the perfected hybrids that are being more and more perfected now, where they can be now down here. We don't have to be up in their crap, but they could be down here,
right,
mingling with us. So that might be the next phase, Preston. That's what I feel, that might be the next phase. I think we're in it already.
Well, certainly they seem to have a very close relationship with us. I mean, if they're interbreeding and with us, mm-hmm. So.
Yes. Yes, and that's what. We just don't know. I wish I had more answers when I would go, when I lecture and I'm asked these questions. You know, I can only talk about what the theories are right now and what we're finding because of all the same reports we're getting, you know, from all these different people who don't know each other.
Right.
But I'm going to be working on a second chosen and talking about more of my cases, you know, in depth. And just to put the information out there, I think we need to keep this out in the public eye.
Right. Oh, your book Chosen is great because, I mean, it's got lots of pictures and diagrams, and there's mm-hmm. some amazing evidence as well. I mean, you've got, what would you say about, like, some of the medical evidence that you've run across? I mean, because that appears in several of your cases.
Well, the medical evidence is, you know, is important, I think, because when we're presenting these cases, I mean, people, the general public, they want to see evidence. You know, they want to see something physical and tangible, and of course, so do we. So anytime we can get anything, any type of alleged implant that we could analyze, any medical report we get, I mean, people who have had these experiences have had, you know, have felt that they've had illnesses and a feeling that they're just not feeling well enough to they go to their doctor. You know, their blood pressure is sky high, and they're just women who are suffering from very strange gynecological problems. Also, we have been discovering over the years. Very just strange gynecological problems that sometimes the doctors, you know, they don't know why this has happened to them. So, but you know, so much of it. I mean, we don't have a report yet that says, you know, this is caused by alien beings. I mean, we want something like that. But many of them are reports where they're. The doctors really can't explain certain situations, even the missing pregnancies or the missing fetuses. You know, they try to, you know, explain it in a certain, you know, medical way, but yet when these women have had, you know, ongoing experiences, you know, we're just suspecting that this is part of that hybrid program.
Right. Well, whenever I interview someone who, you know, about a UFO experience or an onboard UFO experience in particular, I always ask them, do you have anything medically unusual, you know, have happened to you? And by and large, they almost always do mention at least something. Mm-hmm. A lot of them mention sinus problems. You know, Ivan,
yeah.
I had two different people tell me that they have an extra vertebrae in their back, which I just thought was unusual. Not that I've run across
really?
It before, but just weird stuff like that.
Yes. And that's what we just have to note it and, you know, and just keep going. And, you know, we hear one or two cases, we'll put it aside. And then it's not until, say I had those cases, an extra vertebrae, then
mm-hmm.
I'll put it aside. And then if I start seeing more and more, then I present it in my lecture series because I think it's important, or, you know, I'll put it in a book because I feel like, okay, there has to be more people out there that will read this and they'll say, oh my gosh, you know, this happened to me. But what I'm trying to do with my work is to finally erase the ridicule factor of even just talking about this. You know, sometimes you get giggles and snickers, and we need to keep talking about this in a serious, professional manner, so that, and I think we are making stride, because I'm running across more and more people that have been interested in the subject and have seen the different documentaries on TV, and they, you know, I just had my two neighbors. I just moved to a beautiful area down here in San Diego, and I said the month after I moved here, two of my neighbors, they happened to see, I had my garage open, they happened to see my books on the shelf, the Chosen that I had up there.
Right.
And they go, oh my God, are you interested in this? And all of a sudden I start talking about it, and one of them told me about this incident, this sighting they had when they were living in the Midwest, and the other one, on the other side of me, just said, oh my God, I've got to talk to you about this. I've been interested in so long, I haven't been able to talk to anybody. I mean, just, you know, just that quickly, I met two people in a new area. So,
wow.
And that's the thing, I find that people don't know who to talk to about it, so they keep quiet.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our esteemed guest is Yvonne Smith, a clinical hypnotherapist who is on the leading edge of UFO abduction research and has just released her new book, Chosen, Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy, which I highly recommend. It's just full of all sorts of information. Now, Yvonne, where can people get a hold of your book? Do you have a website you want to give out?
Yes, I do. They can go to www.ysmith.com, and I believe they just click on merchandise, and then they'll see my book there, my DVD that I have with Bud Hopkins, my interview with Bud Hopkins. But that's how they could go to my website. They can also go on Amazon, go to Amazon, and they'll be able to find it there.
Okay, cool. So www.ysmith.com. Okay. Now, You moved to San Diego, and both your neighbors tell you this. How many people do you think are having abduction experiences? Because that's also another controversial thing about this whole phenomena.
Oh, gosh. As you know, you probably know, you know, in the late 90s, the Roper organization conducted a poll.
Right.
And at that time, it was 1 in 50 American adults.
Which is a lot.
It was also... that's a lot then. And then there was another poll conducted, which I, and maybe you have the statistics on that. I don't have them in front of me. I believe it was done in, 2002. I think it was the Roper organization. But still, when you look at 1 in 50, you think, my gosh, I mean, this is very widespread. And when I talk to people, I tell them, I said, don't be surprised if a neighbor of yours has had experiences, or a coworker that sits next to you at the next desk, or members of your own family. I mean, they're when they look at it like that, you know, it's not like, oh, a few of these weirdos are having experiences. You know, when they look at it as, God, it could be anybody, and these people are, you know, upstanding citizens that have jobs and support families, and that's what we're trying to, this is what I'm trying to do in my work, is bring it out to the public where, you know, this is not, people are not psychotic. This is not a psychological problem. This is a very physical, real phenomenon.
Right.
I think more and more people are open to this because of the reaction that I'm getting now.
Well, here's another kind of edgy question, I guess. As far as this government cover-up, which I think is pretty demonstrable, even if you take a glance at John Greenwald's website, Black Vault, for, you know, for starters. Have any of your clients ever reported any government interference, or have you? Because the government is apparently trying to cover this up. They're certainly not revealing everything they know.
No, they're certainly not. I truly believe that they're covering up, which is, you know, I think it's shameful, because we, the American people, really need to know the truth. And, but, you know, I have not myself. I have not, as far as I know, have not been interfered with. Now, there, I've talked to people who are in the know with, you know, say, surveillance and things like that, I'll just say.
Right.
They can use the technology now, Preston. We don't even, our conversation now, our show now could be being tapped into where we won't even know. You don't necessarily have to hear clicks on the phone anymore. They can do these things without us ever knowing. And I feel, okay, if they're doing it, fine. I probably have a file with the FBI or the CIA or both because of my work.
Right.
But I have never felt that I've been interfered with or anybody following me or anybody. And I asked Bud one time, Bud Hopkins, and I think I asked David Jacobs at one time, and neither one of them either. So maybe because we're dealing with the abduction phenomenon and we're not dealing with, I know John, you know, Greenwald had visitors from the FBI when he started his research. And I don't know if he already had Black Vault up there, but I remember he said that they knocked on his door and, you know, I think they wanted to see his computer. I remember him telling me this. I think his parents had mentioned that too. In fact, I went to school with his mother. Which is, you know, they're wonderful, wonderful people, and John's doing great work. But I think because he's dealing in government documents and Freedom of Information Act requests and all of that, and those of us, like myself, David, you know, we're dealing with abductions. We're not trying to get into the government archives or anything. So maybe that's why we've been left alone. Now, I do feel that our government is very interested in the experiencers. I do not doubt, and I had a conversation with Melinda Leslie about, because her research is, because she is an abductee, and she feels she's been part of the military abductions or the MILABs.
Right.
And I had a deep discussion with her about it, and you know, I cannot discount the MILABs. I've not had what she experienced in my caseload all these years, but I can't discount it as a researcher that I can't say it doesn't happen. I told her I feel very deeply that the MILABs may be happening because our government is very interested in what the abductees or experiencers have learned or what they know, how much they're going to talk.
Right.
So, and, you know, that's a little unnerving, though, how secretive they are. And if this is actually happening, these people who, like Melinda, are being, I feel, being abused by our own government, by our own military, or part of the government, you know, the rogue part of it.
Right.
So, there, you know, I think there's just a lot more to this, Preston, and I don't want anyone out there, any of your listeners, getting paranoid, though, because I've worked with, you know, almost 1,000 cases maybe by now. And everyone is okay. Everyone's alive. No one's, you know, no one's really been threatened. Their lives haven't been threatened. No one's been. So I just don't want them to feel, because they've had this experience, you know, they're going to be abducted by the military or whatever. I just, But if that anything like that happens, they need to report it. They need to go to someone like myself or you or somebody and report it and talk about it, and we'll see what, you know, we could do from there.
Right.
But I'm not afraid of the rogue government. I'm not afraid of our military. I mean, they, you know, I'm doing my work, and, you know, they're not going to intimidate me. So I just feel there's just too many people that need help and too many people that don't know where to go to even talk about this. We have to bring this out in the open. We have to stop worrying about people losing their jobs and people not being able to get jobs because of the UFO phenomenon. I mean, that is just, that just shouldn't be.
Right. I wrote an article about that years ago. See a UFO, lose your job, and outlined, you know, a dozen cases.
Yes.
Or so. So it's
yes,
terrible.
And why is that, Preston? Why is that? That shouldn't be. And because, why? Because our government, for all these years, has been lying to us. And, you know, I was watching the first part of the vice presidential debates tonight, and I watched the presidential debates. And as you know, we're in a lot of mess right now, our entire country.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're leaving up to people that I don't know if they know what they're doing. And you know, people, I think, are getting tired. They're getting tired of being lied to. They're getting tired of people that are supposed to be running this country and not knowing what they're doing. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I feel that, you know, forget the UFO issue. I mean, once somebody gets elected into office, that goes away. I mean, they may want, you know, the files opened, and they may say everything they want to say while they're, you know, while their elections are going on. But once they get into office, something happens. So, I don't know. I'm just trying not to get discouraged, and I'm not going to get political here. But, you know, we have just suffered, the American people, for so many years of lies and deception.
I think this cover-up is finally ending, so I'm really heartened about that. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs, the Paranormal. Our guest tonight is Yvonne Smith, who's written a new book called Chosen. And remember, this is a call-in show, so I'm going to give out the number right now if you'd like to call in and share an experience or ask our guest a question. The number is 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time, 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Yvonne, there's also a psychic aspect to some of these encounters. I mean, there was one really moving account in your book with, I think, Jesse Long, in which he had a vision of the World Trade Center.
Oh, my gosh, Preston. Yeah, that was just... and I had to put it in there because I feel that so many people who have had these experiences have either come away with it from their experiences or, well, you know, let me try to word this. We all have psychic abilities, all of us.
Right.
So I think people who have had these experiences, because it was a traumatic experience, well, to begin with, their psychic abilities were heightened. Just like someone, and I've spoken with people who've had near-death experiences. That was also a traumatic experience, but they
very
came
much
away with heightened psychic abilities. So that one with the World Trade Center with Jesse was absolutely, I mean, even now I get tears in my eyes because I remember him talking about, Yvonne, I keep having visions of a plane hitting a building. And I remember he kept telling me that he was living in Burbank at the time, working in the film industry. And he moved back to Knoxville to be near his parents years later. And I'll never forget, Preston, the morning of September 11th. I was getting ready for work, getting my son ready for school, and Jesse Long called me, just like I wrote the book, and he was hysterical, I mean in tears, because when he saw the plane, the second plane hitting the building, that's when he said, my God, that's what I saw. And
wow.
I included the drawing that he had done years before. And that's part of that chapter I've gotten more calls on, you know, and people commenting on that. And I remember when I sent him that chapter to read, to go over his chapter to make sure I have everything accurate, and he called me and he said he was in tears when he was reading it because it brought back so many memories of back when he was a child in Tennessee and then, of course, the 9/11 incident. But there are so many people who have, you know, are psychic. They think maybe because of their experience, abduction experiences, but they're amazing. And I'm sure you've come across many people that you've talked to or interviewed about their psychic abilities.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So what do you think is the future of UFO research? And are the ETs going to show themselves, do you think? Or, I mean, I know,
you know,
I could have already asked this already, but where is this all leading to?
You know, I almost... Do you remember reading the last chapter of Chosen about Rita Gaines, who in the 1960s, it was after, I believe it was after the Betty and Barney Hill incident.
Right.
She came across a very unusual individual in a restaurant. And this was in the 60s, and she felt that he looked right through her. He was reading her mind. And she tells this story, I mean, she has told the story for years the same way, just like Jesse Marcel Jr., and whenever I talk to him, whenever I hear him speaking, he tells the same story when he was 12 years old. You know, so you know when someone is not lying or making something up, their story is solid. It's told the same way every time. And this is how Rita Gaines was. And I've heard of other people encountering these individuals that are very human-looking, but yet there's something different about them. Their eyes, they feel that they can read their mind. They're just different. I think they're already here, Preston. I think they're already among us. I think we're going into this next phase of now with our technology of all these cameras we have, digital, cell phone, you know, all these the different technology that we have, people are taking more and more photos. And I've been seeing more and more photos of alien beings on the ground. I mean, in someone's backyard.
Right.
And why not? I mean, why should they just be flying around? Of course they're going to be, you know, finally, though, I think we're heading into that. We've been heading into that now for several years. And I think with our technology, we are going to have more and more photographic evidence. But as far as, you know, where this is all going to lead, I'm hoping. I really do hope. You know, I think about that, the sighting that they had over the O'Hare Airport. That's a huge, busy airport. I've landed there many times.
Right, right.
That sighting that they had, what is about a couple years ago?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Not too long ago. Yeah. Pilots saw it. Ground crew saw it, took pictures. Passengers.
Aircraft controllers.
Yes. I mean, and of course, we heard it was a weather inversion that punched a hole in the clouds, of course. But
right.
I'm hoping that this will happen over more of our 8 major airports, that something is going to happen that our government is not going to be able to explain away. You know, I almost feel that we, the American people, need confirmation like that now. You know, they're going to appear. Our government's not going to be able to explain it away. Then the American people are going to know how long they've lied to us. then Jesse Marcel Sr. will be vindicated because he was treated terribly by his own military. You know, he was used as the fall guy of
right.
what he saw out there in the field. You know, just people like that will be vindicated. People like myself and you and who've been doing all this work for so long will be vindicated. And I think my hypnotherapy practice will probably be very busy after that.
Well, things seem to be moving in that direction. I mean, we've had, like, the Phoenix Lights, those sightings over Mexico
yeah.
City, Gulf Breeze,
yeah.
Hudson Valley, the Belgium Wave. These are all huge waves over...
Huge. But I'm hoping, Preston, that, you know, and we hear these ridiculous explanations of these sightings, just like
right.
the O'Hare Airport. I couldn't believe the explanations that I heard on the news.
Well, they haven't been able to debunk the Stephenville sightings, which were even more recent.
Exactly. And here, the constable of Stephenville and, you know, other police officers had seen this object. But I think we need something. It's almost like we need something. I'm thinking of Independence Day, but of course not where they destroy us, but where there's going to be a sighting over every major airport all at the same time.
Wow. Well, that would shake people
here,
up.
That would, and our government, too.
Right.
And I think that's what we need. I think it's what we need to let people know that, you know, this has been happening for a long time. Our work, Preston, we would be vindicated. And I think that I really do think this is something that we needed. Maybe we are heading there. I'm hoping that we're going to have more and more major sightings. I'm looking now. I face the ocean. And I'm thinking maybe I moved here for a reason. I keep looking out in the sky. There's a beautiful sky every night. And, you know, I've never seen a UFO. And maybe, you know, I'm supposed to remain objective. I'm not supposed to see, you know, something like that. But, you know, I'm thinking if I do, there'll be many other people that will see it at the same time.
Right. Wow. Well, Yvonne, we only have like a few minutes left. So what kind of, what do you want our listeners to know out there about this subject, you know,
well,
in general?
I really feel that it's important for people to be educated about this subject. So go on to my website. Go on to www.wysmith.com. Go to Amazon. Buy my book. Buy your books. Buy all of our colleagues' books. We're heading towards the holidays. Give them out as Christmas presents. Spread the word. Help us spread the word. We need to support each other. We're trying to do this for the good of the American public. So this is what I'm doing now. I'm trying to educate the mainstream public and the mainstream media. I have a show coming out on A&E that I did with Dr. Roger Lear. We taped it a few months ago, and we're hoping that it's going to air winter of this year. I don't have the date yet, but just check my website because we're updating it all the time. But buy our books and give them out as gifts and help us spread the word. That's what I ask of your listeners.
Very cool. Well, the book is excellent. I really enjoyed it, and I want to congratulate you again. Thank you for doing such amazing research.
Thank you very much. And I'm working on the second one, and I hope to do your show again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would love that.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Yvonne, for coming on the show, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. You too, Preston. We'll keep in touch.
Okay. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed listening to our amazing guest, Yvonne Smith, clinical hypnotherapist who has worked with hundreds, if not 1,000, abductees and experiencers, and has written about several of her major cases in her new book, Chosen, Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy, which has just been released. You can get it on her website, which is ysmith.com. Her first initial Y and her last name, Smith, all one word. .com, and check it out. I very much enjoyed the book, and I think you will too. That's our show for tonight. I want to thank you all again for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and I hope you can join us next week when I bring on another guest to talk about this subject of UFOs and the paranormal. Till then, have a wonderful night and a great week. Bye now.